Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
Don't make me say I told you so.
Who the Super Bowl winning quarterback was, Chris Webber.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Don't make me say I told you so.
Matthew Stafford. I just want to say.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I told you so.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guest, former South Carolina men's basketball coach Frank Martin, Michigan head coach Juwan Howard, plus from Fox's Welcome to Fletch, actor Sean William Scott. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. My head coach from the University of Michigan, 1 hour from now, Juwan Howard will be joining us. They're in the middle of their practice, getting ready to sharpen that Mason Blue iron to take on Villanova. How come you're not a Villanova fan?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'd like Georgetown, and then when Villanova beat Georgetown, kind of made me not like Villanova.
Why?
Then,
oh, because you like Georgetown,
Georgetown first.
Raleigh Massimino didn't
I'd like Georgetown.
Win you over, TJ?
There was a guy named Doug West. He played 13 years in the NFL, like a very distant cousin of mine from Altoona, grew up like... Doug West was like a god in Altoona. He went to Villanova, so I definitely followed them, but they're just not one of my teams that I'm like.
Too East Coast for you?
No, they just weren't Georgetown enough for me.
I got you. I remember that back in the day. You know what an interesting aspect of this is? You know who would know Villanova really well is Michigan assistant Phil Martelli.
Yeah.
You know? He spent many a moon in the Big Five, as it's known there in the city of Philadelphia. You know? So that's and so that'll be later on in the program. Sean William Scott will be joining us in studio. Huge news going on in the NFL. Tyreek Hill is now a Miami Dolphin. How about that?
Jeez.
But we'll place that aside for a moment and talk about March Madness right now with our guest who's on the Mercedes-Benz Van phone line right now. Enjoyed his work on television this past week. Longtime coach in South Carolina, also in Kansas State, Frank Martin, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Frank?
Rich, how the heck are you, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
You kidding me? The Dolphins just signed a left tackle. They just got Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
I grew up across the street from the Orange Bowl. We're getting ready to roll again. I'm really happy for it.
So you grew up across the street from the Orange Bowl? Is that right, Coral? You're Coral Gables guy? Is that what you're saying?
Little Havana, next neighborhood over.
Okay.
Little Havana, and we grew up playing on the dirt fields that were surrounding the Orange Bowl. That's where people used to park their cars back in the day, and that was our neighborhood, man. That's grew up sneaking into the games. You go watch Larry Zonka and Bonacani and Larry Little and Paul Warfield and the rest of them.
No doubt about it. Shula being the coach of it. I mean, back in the old day. So we were actually wondering, what's the real March Madness, the NCAA tournament or NFL free agency right now? It's kind of crazy. Yeah.
Up until a week ago is, March Madness. Now it's I'm sitting around staring at the wall, so I'm a little excited about the Dolphins and free agency. So here we go.
Frank Martin here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, Frank, so what do you think this story of the first week of the NCAA tournament was? What do you take out of it?
I think it's awesome. I think it's a total reflection as to what's happened over the last 3, 4, 5 years. Everyone's making a big deal about the transfer portal this year because guys are immediately eligible. But we've been averaging 800 transfers a year for 5 straight years. So it's the balance, the difference between a 13 seed and a 4 seed or whatever it may be, a 2 and a 15. Those days are over. It's the 13 and the 4 and 5 and the 12 and so forth. They're a lot closer than they used to be when you combine transfers into one and done. You know, there are certain schools that recruit one and dones, and those kids keep coming and leaving, so they stay young. And then the you know, a lot of kids that are backups at the 2 seed don't want to be backups, and they transfer to the 13 seed, and makes the 13 seed a lot better. So it's I think it's a direct correlation between what we've had over the last 5-6 years and the present moment, which I think it's awesome. It makes that tournament even that much more fun to watch.
No question. But then when we get down to the Sweet 16, I mean, how much of a run do you think somebody like St. Peter's can truly have when you see what the Blue Bloods are putting out there, having made it this far? What do you think of that, Frank?
Yeah, Rich, you don't get to the round of you don't become a Sweet 16 team as a fluke. It's really hard to get into that tournament, and it's really hard to win in that tournament. Once you get to the Sweet 16, you got a real team. You got real guys. You might not have the popular guys, but you got real guys. And when you got real guys, you got a chance to beat whoever's in front of you, and you're a real team. You're not a dysfunctional team and make it to the Sweet 16. That just doesn't happen. So everyone that's in the Sweet 16 has a real team. I mean, they're a united team, and they're a battle tested team. And everyone that's in the Sweet 16 has really good players. Now, like I always say, everything's matchups. I was on TV last week. I used the analogy between Foreman, Ali, and Ken Norton. Ali toyed with Foreman. Ali struggled with Norton. Foreman put Norton to sleep. The styles were just opposites, and they just created problems for each other. And it's the same way in the tournament. I think the matchups is a lot more important than the name on the jerseys right now.
Does that make St. Peter's Buster Douglas, Frank? What does that make St. Peter's in your analogy?
No, because they were never fat. They didn't have to get in shape. Those guys were young and hungry from the word go.
So what do you think Matt Painter of Purdue's thinking right now with Shaheen Holloway talking about how he's got kids from New York and New Jersey, and they don't – I'm sure you might have heard that soundbite where he's like, they're not afraid of anybody. He goes, they're not pushed around. We do that, is what he said.
Yeah, no. Yeah, well, that's who Shaheen was as a player. Anyone that knows Shaheen and remembers him, I've known Shaheen since he was a young kid. I mean, he played for Kevin Boyle at St. Patrick's in New Jersey in high school, and I've known Shaheen forever. Shaheen is fearless, and when you see his team play, they've taken on his personality. They're fearless, and he means what he says. I think Matt Painter's not going to lose sleep because Shaheen Holloway's talking about he's got tough kids. Matt Painter has tough kids. The whole thing is matchups. Matt Painter has two big old bodies inside that I don't think St. Peter's has. So that's a major problem for St. Peter's, is how are they going to identify and deal with Travion Williams and the big kid, Edney, or something. I can't pronounce his name. I apologize. Right. But then again, Matt Painter's team, Purdue, based on last week when I studied their numbers a little bit, defensively, they have not been a highly efficient team. They've been okay, but not great. And keeping those St. Peter's guards out of the lane is going to be a big, big challenge for Purdue. So it's all matchups, Matt, I can tell you this, Rich. Matt's not rolling in bed right now worried about Shaheen having tough kids. And Shaheen, that's who he is, and I'm really proud for who he has continued to grow to become and how good a coach he is right now.
Frank Martin, after a stellar week on TV, joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show, talking NCAA tournament. So you've been talking about matchups, and that's what it's all about, certainly now that we were in the Sweet 16. Which kid in the tournament is the biggest matchup problem? Which team has the biggest matchup problem for anybody, do you think?
I think it's not even close. I think it's the young man Mathurin from Arizona. I think he presents a major problem for everybody because of his rebounding ability, his playmaking ability, his size, his shooting, his athleticism. I think he's the biggest hurdle for anyone to deal with right now. It's interchangeable players are in my belief, and multi-skilled players. In my, I don't care how high you can jump. You got no skills. It's easier to match up with you. But when you're a multi-talented player with size and athleticism, and that's what that young man presents, I think he's the hardest matchup for everybody.
What do you think of Timmy? What do you think of Gonzaga's ability to maybe have somebody like him with the other complementary parts and dynamic kids around him? What do you think of Gonzaga's chances as a one seed right now?
Yeah, I think I think Timmy's a big-time player. I, by the way, I love him because, you know, I'm battling alopecia, so he's got the best mustache, so I'm really, really jealous. I wish I could grow one right now. It's, I love him. He's an old-school, blue-collar, no-nonsense winner. You know, he doesn't wow you with dunking. He doesn't wow you with, like, all these incredible fadeaways in between the legs. When the game ends, he's as efficient as anybody on the court. And 95% of the time, his team wins, and he's got a lot to do with it. I think he's, I think he's everything I root for in college basketball.
Frank Martin, what do you think the Coach K finale, how that's playing out in that Duke locker room? I can, you know, obviously it's, you know, we in the media we're all in on following it, and if, you know, Coach K cuts down the nets and finishes his career, I mean, that might set off 72 straight hours of conversation, even though it's Masters Week and opening day of baseball that week. But the kids in that locker room, don't you? That what a bunch of a lot of pressure that would be on these kids to make it happen right now, don't you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I was going to post a video of belly flopping in my pool. I was hoping you guys speak about that instead of Coach K. But, you know, if you guys want to speak about Coach K winning games, I'm all for it, too. No, it's a great story. I mean, I think that last home game, just the whole attention, because Duke's a really young team if you pay attention. I think that moment was just really difficult. That's what I would think. And I think Coach K was as much joy and as much having 100 former players there, whatever it was, as much joy as that brought. I don't want to speak for Coach K, but I know there had to be some kind of concern because you got to play the game. You're trying to win. You're not trying to just celebrate your life and your journey as a coach. But I think they're playing better. I think getting away from that game, they played really well in the ACC tournament, I thought, up until the championship game. But Virginia, they kind of hit lightning in a bottle. Virginia Tech did and made that run. But I think Duke's playing really well right now. It would be an amazing story because I tell people all the time, everyone talks about our pressure defense and what I coach and teach. It's a combination of what I learned from my high school coach. And as a senior in high school, being in the same tournament as Tommy Amaker, and then following Duke basketball when Tommy became a freshman at Duke, and seeing him pressure the ball, and Johnny Dawkins and Billy King denying the wings, and that Duke pressure combined with what I learned from my high school coach, who I was his assistant coach for many years, developed that mindset. And you're talking about a little Hispanic kid from Miami, Florida, where we had no pro basketball, no college basketball. All I had was seeing Tommy Amaker and then trying to watch Duke on TV. And he impacted me as a basketball person. And that's the value that Mike Krzyzewski's had to our game and our profession and so many people for so many years.
Well, Frank, we're scouring your Twitter handle right now. Don't see any video of you belly flopping into your pool. Where do we find such a thing, Frank?
No, I was going to post it.
Oh.
The same day Coach Duke plays for the championship, I'm going to post a picture of me belly flopping. I thought more people would pay attention to that than Coach K winning a national championship.
Well, let's give that a whirl, Frank. Let's be honest. I mean, if we already saw Kelvin Sampson with his shirt off, I mean, I think that's just a natural progression of things, Frank.
Hey, Rich, I tell Bruce Pearl and Musselman, and I'm going to tell Kelvin when I speak with him. You know, I did that my whole life growing up in Miami. Now I'm an old man. I don't need to be showing people my body anymore. I mean, you know, I worked really hard for about 24 years to have a six pack. I had to work a lot harder for the last 40 years to have a one pack. So keeping this one pack I've grown is a heck of a lot harder than having a six pack.
Well, now I'm rooting for Coach K to make that final, because we're going to hold you to it, Frank. That's what we do here on this show. We hold people to what they say. That's what we're all about, accountability. You know what I'm saying?
You have my word that if Duke's in the championship game, for whatever it's worth,
okay,
between you and me,
yeah,
I will post a video belly flopping in my pool.
Okay, you got it. It seems like you're really good at this. Well, not seems, you are really good at this TV thing, Frank. Is this your next go round here, or do you have coaching out of your system, or you don't? What do you think?
I still want to coach. I mean, if this was last year, I was really beat up last year, Rich. Mm-hmm. Last year was a complicated year for everyone in our world. Me personally, it just beat me up. Last year was really difficult between my health. Professionally, it was difficult. I wasn't happy with my private dealings with the people I work for. It was just a complicated year for me. I'd never been in that moment like I was last year. When you go through that, you question what you do. But as I got removed from last spring, and the players came in the program, and the way that my team fought, listened to me, and the way we played, made me realize there's nothing wrong with me. Professionally, and my health is good again, so I'm able to. If I don't have the energy to help young people, then I don't need to coach. But I've got energy again, and I'm excited, and so I want to get back on the saddle. But it takes an athletic director to hire me, and if someone's willing to give me a job, I'm willing to listen. If not, then you know, one day I might try that television thing, and you know, see how it goes. I think life is. My life has been filled with incredible people and stories. And when I get up there, I'm sharing the stories that I've lived, and I'm talking ball, which is what I've done my whole life, 38 years on the sideline. So it seems pretty easy to me.
Well, will you do the next week? Or it was just 1 week and finished? Are you back out there this week, Frank? We see you?
No, I don't have anything in store.
Okay.
That was a commitment. I was asked about a month before the end of the season.
Okay.
And assuming we didn't make the tournament, I agreed to do it. And as soon as we weren't picked on Sunday, they called and confirmed. So that's the only thing I had on the docket. So you got something, I'll come over and hang out with you.
Well, Frank, I don't put this number in your phone. I'd love to continue to chat with you throughout this tournament and get your 2 cents on everything. I'm a friend of Rex Chapman's as well. I saw, you know, he posted something you said about youth sports and parenting on his Twitter handle. It went viral for a reason, because you have a message and you've got a voice, Coach.
Well,
you know,
if what I say makes sense and you need me, I'm a phone call away. Unlike the previous 38 years of my life, I got some free time on my hands.
Okay. Well, look for my call again. So between that and the belly flop, we'll chat again. Okay. How does that sound?
Done deal.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate the 2 cents.
Yes, sir.
You.
Thank you.
You got it. That's Frank Martin, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen. Awesome.
Wow. Fun guy.
Why wouldn't an athletic director take a shot on Frank Martin here?
That's a great question, Rich.
Okay. Yeah. What I'm going to do right now is
hit refresh on Twitter.
No, I'm gonna hit retweet from our account of what Rex Chapman tweeted out last week of Frank Martin talking from the podium as the head coach of South Carolina. Man, he made the Final Four, and remember, he made the Final Four in 2017, and every press conference he had was must watch, yep, must see, because mm-hmm, it was just dynamite. They mm-hmm were good.
Yeah.
Whew, were they really good that year? We'll take a break. We'll come back, and you know what? I'm gonna go for it, Jets fans. I'm gonna talk to you when we come back, because I know right now there's a lot of you disappointed that Tyreek Hill went to Miami and not the Jets. You and I were gonna have a conversation. What was that, like Jon Stewart says, "Meet me at camera one," and he turns to the next camera. Meet me right here in a couple minutes, okay? We're going to have a nice chat. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. And I'll talk to actual human beings instead of a camera to people. But before we go, Mercedes-Benz Vans wants to ask you, when was the last time you seriously considered your dream? Because you used to think about it all the time. It's time for you and your dream to get back together. Because what happened? you could live the life, the van life, in a totally customized Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. Just think about it. You can visit your cousin, visit your aunt, visit your grandparents, visit your folks, visit a place that you've always wanted to go to. I mean, a number of times Susie will send me something about, hey, let's go here. And it's just like, do you know how many children we have? Wait a minute. Well, let me get out of that. I got to think about my dream. All right, my children are the dream. But actually, you can really travel around the country or start your business, start a new business using a totally customized Mercedes-Benz van. This is what we're talking about, a premium ride that you can expect innovative safety features like crosswind assist and blind spot assist. You can expect amazing performance and reliability with an MBUX voice command system, a five-star dealer network, and an available gas engine. It runs like a dream. So what do you say? Head to your Mercedes-Benz van dealership, get that Sprinter, and tell them your dream sent you. 844-204-RICH. We'll take your calls when we come back. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Right. Well, hold on. Say, our terrestrial radio audience has returned. I was just talking about my day yesterday, which is, you know, look, I was just kind of on empty at the end of the day. And Cooper, my 11-year-old, asks for help on a "Are you smarter than a fifth grader?" question, filled with metrics and, by the way, metrics with fractions. Yeah. I'm more verbal. Felt like saying, "Hey, Coop, you see that roof over there?" That's because I talk, right? Not because I add or subtract how to convert centimeters into 3/8 into.
And Rich, you're 52.
You can't say that to a kid.
And I'm 41. But it's like you go back and you think about your life and you think, oh, things I know now that I would tell a younger me.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
And I think the biggest thing is don't try so hard in school because it doesn't matter. My whole life growing up, all I cared about was doing my homework and going to practice.
But that's a work ethic. Yeah. That's a work ethic. You have to learn your work ethic.
But the work that I was doing ultimately doesn't matter.
You know what? This was also the commentary from your superiors at NFL Network, Chris.
Because the work I was doing didn't matter. Give me something that actually matters to do.
So this is following him his whole life?
His direct reports at NFL Network watching this right now are going, yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah, and great. And Bardia, you can call me and we can talk about it.
Oh, you're calling him out.
Okay. Wow. It's like, no, give me something that matters. And that's when good work gets done.
Yeah, but your work ethic that does come into play, you really think you would.
You would tell a younger me, don't try so hard in school.
But you're not going to tell that to your son, right? You can't.
I can say, hey, let's go out and work on the wedges tonight. Because that's more important than doing whatever fraction equation you guys were doing.
Oh, I can't wait. This is exact. But how many times did you hear what I was talking to you, what's talking about when my kids were Cage's age and you're like, yeah, I'm not doing that. And how often do you find yourself actually doing that now? More than 50% of the time.
What, in terms of like...
anything. So
like,
name it.
Like, I'm a single parent for a couple of days, and it's like, can you just be quiet? Yes, we can watch Cars for the 40th time.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Life's a highway.
Yeah.
Because it's easier.
It's easier.
Okay.
Easier, though, Rich. Work smarter, not harder.
So that's why his answer was leave it blank.
Leave it blank.
My answer is figure it out yourself. You'll know the answer. I'll check your work later
It'll
on.
It'll come to you.
I don't know if he got it right. But what's the answer again, Hoskins? 0.17. Very good.
And you know what, Rich? It doesn't matter.
Life lessons here in the Rich Eisen Show. Jeff in Detroit, let's take your phone call. What's up, Jeffrey? How you doing?
What's going on, Unc?
Going on?
Listen, you guys.
Jeff, what would you tell a younger you?
The parenting skills of the Rich Eisen Show, baby, I tell you. Listen.
Yes.
Here lately, you guys have been having something that I haven't seen in a while. The what the hell face. Every other day, the NFL is giving you guys the what the hell just happened face. I mean, Tyreek Hill going to Miami at this point, never saw this one coming. Never saw this one coming. The guy accounts for a lot of their offense, and I honestly believe, in my opinion, that their offense is going to take a step back. It really, really are. And let me ask you this question, because I've been in the market for buying a used car here lately, and used cars are astronomically high. That's because they don't have any computer chips for the newer cars. Is that the problem with the NFL? Because no new quarterbacks are coming out, and it's driving up the prices of all of these quarterbacks. I mean, look, Mitchell Trubisky, if you don't play, you get paid. Man, come on now.
So there's a supply chain issue is what you're saying in the NFL.
Well, somewhat. I mean, this is a screw. Like Chris said, this is a screwy offseason. I've never seen anything like it. You guys are breaking news every day.
Well, I just think, you know, again, it's maybe a supply chain issue that a team like, I still think the Steelers in, because you mentioned Trubisky's one, Atlanta's another with Mariota, correct? And even the Saints with Jameis, which is another, right? So what you're suggesting is once upon a time first or second overall picks that had to go somewhere else and back up getting their shot in the NFL due to a supply chain issue. I think we just named three teams that are going to draft a quarterback in the draft. And I think you could say Seattle. I bet you Seattle will too. Carolina will. Right. Matt Corral's having a pro day now. And I bet you by the end of the show, we'll find out how terrific he looked and how that's going to push him up draft boards. And don't forget about Matt Corral. You know, like that's the way it's going to go over the next 5 weeks. So I know you're saying that these might be a supply chain issue, but they're still going to go to that supply chain.
I have one other quick question for you. Do you think about it like this? Because there's no clear-cut winner. In the past, we've had quarterbacks who you just had to have, like two or three of them, and several trades would be made. People would jockey for positions. Everybody's like, I'm good where I'm at right now. Nobody's coming up to get a quarterback, and I think that plays a part in it as well. Because usually you have somebody coming up if they just have to have this guy, or you hear whispers. There's no whispering. I mean, you hear people talking, but nothing like we've heard in the past.
Thanks for the call, Jeffrey. You be well. That's Jeff in Detroit. Interesting conversation there. I think it's still what you said the last hour, and not because you were echoing something that I said way ahead of the rest of the NFL media world.
Yeah, you were on it right from the beginning.
And I do always love being told that I was right. And certainly when it's you being the one to tell me that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to do it.
I know that.
Often,
I know. I know. Yeah, it's like a manhole cover being thrown around from over there to over here. But I think it is still the Brady effect of him winning a Super Bowl after he did something a certain way for 20 years, gave hometown discounts. And by the way, it wasn't like to his detriment, having done that for 20 years.
Oh.
It still was, you know,
well,
and we'll go down as the greatest coach quarterback combination and relationship in terms of wins and everything else in the history of the game. But he decided after all of that, I'm going to, before it's all over, try it a different way, my own way, in a new spot where I'm looked at differently. And the coach handles me differently, and I have a different relationship with my coach because I'm the one coming there, not the one drafted there and grown there. Again, the whole Ben Roethlisberger, how it was a different situation for him after Cowher left. So Tom Brady does that. And everybody else sees that. And it got in Russ's brain, and it got in Aaron Rodgers' brain, and it eventually got into Matthew Stafford's brain. And Matthew Stafford's like, I'm going to do something different. And he wins a Super Bowl himself. So there's a ton of organizations and players that are like, let's try it a different way. I know this sounds weird and wild, and I know it's going to cost us this pick, and I know it's going to cost us that much cap space, or it's going to cost us a cap hit. Let's try it.
We don't have any picks. It's $40 million dead cap. Whatever. We got to try something different.
And now the new thing, combining with it, here we go, is the way the Rams won the Super Bowl was with a quarterback who said, I'll try it the Brady way. And a general manager who's like, what do the picks mean anything anyway? Yeah. Of course they mean something, and we'll have them in the second and third and fifth and sixth and seventh rounds, and we can find our guys there. But if we can use the picks on premium talent, we're going to do it. Like the Raiders, like the Dolphins just did for Adams and Hill respectively, like Denver did for their quarterback and Russell Wilson, who said, I want to take the Brady way. I want out. And there's a lot of picks being effed over the last week. You know? And we'll deal with it then. And we'll take whatever medicine comes with not having the picks, but it won't matter if we're watching our Lombardi trophy get hoisted. Put it all together, and I think that's why we're getting the free agency that we're seeing right now. And also the dollars and cents being thrown around are insane, so... Now then, I want to talk to Jets Nation. Fascinating, I'm wearing green. This was not intended at all. Yeah. At all. I had no idea that Tyreek Hill might be in play for the Jets today.
We woke up this morning
way,
like, what?
Words I did not think were possible ever, and let alone today. And, you know, number of tweets I got was, you know, memes of people all excited and dancing. Rich Eisen with the concept that the Jets could get Tyreek Hill. You, sir, TJ Jefferson, asked me today how excited I was at that prospect. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say this, and I know it sounds crazy, and I know Jets fans are sitting here thinking, once again, you know, we're trying to be real players in this world. Are we ever going to get to be real players in this world? And not only do the Jets not pull it off, but he winds up with the competition in the division. Now we got to cover him. We better get Sauce Gardner now, because we got to cover him. And that might be true, because you got to cover him and Diggs twice a year.
Waddle.
Yeah. Right. But I'll just say it. I'm kind of glad the Jets didn't get him. I don't know how he would have worked out in New York City. Number one. And number two, I don't think the Jets are ready for him. I don't think when you've got a rookie quarterback from last year looking the way that he did, needing a lot more seasoning. And I know getting him somebody like Tyreek Hill could help you evaluate him. And we would talk about getting people around him to evaluate him. Paying him $120 million to come here, and I don't know how this kid's ready for him yet. I don't know if the Jets are ready for him yet. I don't know if the Jets are ready to protect this kid well enough to go get Tyreek Hill. And I don't know why Tyreek Hill was suddenly available in Kansas City just yet. There's a lot of variables here. There's a lot of question marks here. And I'd rather the Jets, instead of giving up all that draft capital to pay somebody who's just new to their organization the most money at the position in the league, is the right move. You know, the Jets, according to Mike Garafolo, had a deal that didn't include the first two picks. They would have included 2 second-round picks. I mean... Maybe that's why the Chiefs sent him to Miami.
You get that first round pick, but I also think a lot of it came down to Tyreek. Tyreek wanted to be the highest paid wide receiver in the game. That's it.
I don't know if it was worth it. I just, for some reason, don't think the Jets are ready for Tyreek Hill yet. I just don't know. And I'm not sitting here thinking, oh, how great it would have been. I don't know how great it would have been. Maybe I'm just bitten by Favre coming so late in his career, and I know Hill's at the prime of his career. And maybe I'm just not thinking straight because I'm just so scarred by everything and how the Jets pull off maneuvers and they just don't work. Like drafting Mekhi Becton and he blows his friggin' knee out. Or they have a chance to get Trevor Lawrence and they start winning games that they have no business winning with a coach who's dead man walking. But I'll tell you what, Jets fans, I think just keeping, which is why they also didn't trade up the first round, offer a first round pick for him. I think they might have had the same thought. You know, they might have had the same thought. We don't think he's worth the fourth overall pick and the 10th overall pick. And, you know, Miami ended up giving up a 29th for him. That's my first thought. I just don't know how it would have worked. And I don't know if they're ready for him yet. I just thought it would not have been a maneuver that would have been, oh, great, we're going to work. We're going to now win 10 games, 11 games, 12 games. Tyreek Hill will be wide open all the time, and Zach Wilson's going to find him. I don't know, man. I know this is probably going to be a very unpopular take with Jets fans. But just stay the course, keep building it, use that 4-10, use your second round picks. What do you got, 4 picks in the top 30?
Top 40. 4 picks in top 40.
America's top 40, New York Jets. I saw so many wide receivers. I saw so many kids.
Yeah, and if you look at...
I saw so many pass rushers. This kid, Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, so DJ's latest mock draft came out yesterday. Got you guys taking Sauce at number 4. And then the USC kid, Drake London, at 10. So would you rather have those two guys?
Well, apparently I could have had... Well, I don't think the Chiefs would have accepted that.
I'm just saying. You
know, 2-2s as opposed to 1-2 and 4. I mean,
would you rather have Tyreek on the
hook? Tyreek might probably don't want to come here either.
Tyreek and $30 million, or you know, these two kids on their rookie deals.
I'll take the kids.
You know what I mean?
I'll take the kids, and I'll keep going with the kids and grow together. Get the right guys.
Yeah.
I don't mind it, and I have no idea. I have zero idea how Tyreek Hill's personality would gel with New York City's. None. You know, none. And the pressure that would come when Zach is not, he's overthrowing him or he's not, he's missing him or, and I know I'm taking the negative point of view from it, but I'm not terribly shaken that the Jets didn't get him.
It's very rational.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm going against type. You know what I mean? Going against type. Normally I'd be railing here. The Jets stink. They didn't get him. They couldn't get him. They're not big time enough. I'm going the opposite direction. Too many question marks, too expensive. Don't need to blow it up when you're not ready now. Like Green Bay, now that would have been huge for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for Miami, they have other wide receiver pieces around them and a veteran backup that could maybe be the guy anyway with Tua. And an offensive-minded head coach to put it all together. I just don't know if Hill would have been the perfect fit for New York in the same way that he does appear to work in Miami for that money and that draft capital. You know, and then against type two, is that, you know, I think you're having trouble with my heel turns, TJ Jefferson, of saying I wouldn't hold elevator door open for people, you know.
That was a hot take yesterday.
I mean, I'm kind of flipping things on the head.
Rich, Super Bowl odds, Dolphins were 70-1 this morning, 40-1 right now.
It's crazy. It's just, okay.
Just people are buying
What's more of a waste, putting money on that right now or telling my son in his math equation to just leave it blank?
More of a waste?
Yeah.
Ooh, Dolphins Super Bowl future.
844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll take your calls. Seattle fans, Pete Carroll responded to a very direct question of what he did to try and keep Russell Wilson there. Then in hour number 3, Juwan Howard of Michigan basketball and the actor Sean William Scott in studio on a crazy Wednesday. 844-204-RICH.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's go to Matt in Boston. You're here on the program. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Rich. How you doing?
What's going on?
Nothing much. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. How you doing?
Attaboy. What's going on, Matt? What's going on?
I'm calling wondering. I'm seeing all these moves in the AFC, and particularly today in the AFC East. You know, the Dolphins seems like they have endless wide receivers, and the Bills are signing Von Miller. What are the Patriots' plans? It really doesn't seem like they're doing that much in free agency. Seems like they've made net losses.
Well, they kept their McCourty twin, right? They got Trent Brown, which is not a nice maneuver. But they're not going to spend $30 million on a wide receiver. There's no question Bill sees that, and he's just like, get out of here with that noise, you know?
I'm not even asking for a true number one wide receiver signing. I don't know. I just want to see more on defense. I understand that we couldn't get J.C. Jackson, and really I wasn't even expecting to get him back this year. It was going to be way too expensive with how much cap we have. But just like cutting Kyle Van Noy, who was our best linebacker last year besides Matt Judon, but he's more of an edge defender than he is a linebacker. And I don't know, trading away Shaq Mason, it saved us $8.3 million, but what have we really been doing with that $8.3 million up to now? I'm not sure.
All right.
So unless Bill has some big moves coming up.
I don't know. I don't think so. He might, you know, what if Bobby Wagner shows up there? You have a problem with that? You know?
That would be a dream come true.
No, I know that, but I'm just throwing out there. I have no idea what he's going to do. And thanks for the call. And that is, I guess, part of being a Patriot fan is you sit back and you see all of these things happening, and you're like, well, what about us? That's not their plan. They don't go wild in free agency.
Last year was the only spree, was kind of an anomaly. I would say let's wait and see what the draft shakes out. I would expect a wide receiver to be drafted.
There's so many
in the first round. There's so many.
DJ has
taken Jameson Williams, which I would be super psyched about. So I want to see where that shakes out in terms of the draft. And also, I mean, Matt is right. We do need some secondary help. And, you know, let's see if Dante Hightower comes back as well. So he's out there, too.
In Seattle, moving on, in Seattle, Pete Carroll was on a local radio show yesterday, 710, ESPN 710, speaking to Mike Salk locally there, and was asked a direct question about trying to keep Russell Wilson. As you know, his statement, while I was with Mike McDaniel, future coach of Tyreek Hill, if somebody walked up to me when Mike McDaniel was going through his three coaching cliches that we set him up with at the combine next to Pete Carroll talking, if somebody told me, by the way, he's going to get Tyreek Hill in 3 weeks, like what? While McDaniel was doing that thing, Pete was saying that they had no intention of trading Russell Wilson. As we know, they were already deep in conversations with Denver that wound up being consummated the following week. So this is what Pete had to say about keeping Russ and what he did to try and affect that.
Well, there was so much compelling, you know, reasoning, you know, that why you would stay, you know, because of all of the history and all of the time spent and all that. That was exactly where I was coming from, just to use the logic of it. And, you know, when you've built a relationship over a long period of time, there's great benefits to that, you know, and moving forward and well beyond your career and stuff. So those were all parts of the conversation. And, you know, I continue to say, Mike, that, you know, I had no intention of making a move at all while we, you know, guys were under contract and we were pleased with what was going on and all. So I fought for the logic of that for a good while and until it wasn't meaningful anymore, you know, to stick with that.
He tried until it wasn't meaningful anymore. Russ won it out. Wasn't meaningful. That's why, you know, Rodgers is going to be, is Rodgers may be one of the last, until we start seeing how the end game careers for all of these young quarterbacks, these young Turks like Mahomes and Herbert and everybody else play out, right? That's why Rodgers sticking around. Like, the benefit of sticking with us, one team only, after your career, what it means in the town. You know, Favre did go somewhere else, and he's still back in the fold in Green Bay. But, man, that is true. Like, one of Russ's tenure's greatest mysteries is why he was throwing it when everybody thought they were going to run it with Marshawn Lynch and win a Super Bowl and go back-to-back instead of putting it up in the air. And the other mystery is, why did it have to end? What is it that happened there that led to, well, Walter Payton, man of the year, hashtag go Hawks, pillar of the community, face of the team, when told by the coach, there's so many benefits of sticking around here, eventually deaf ears occurred, and that's what was falling on him. I don't know. I can't. I mean, will we get that in a 30 for 30? We're going to get that in some deep dive this spring? Great. Are we going to, like, when are we going to get that? Because you talk to anybody close to the situation, mm-hmm. and it's, yeah, it was just time for everyone to move on. Yeah, it's just time. Matt Ryan, you could figure it out. Okay. It's just pushing late 30s, expensive. The team is, you know, needing to take their medicine and try and rebuild now. New regime, front office, and coach. That makes sense. That you can understand. Atlanta fans, it might be difficult to swallow, but totally understand. The third round pick may be tough to swallow. But in Seattle, it's just like, what happened? Deaf ears. Why was all that falling on him? Juwan Howard coming up. I don't know.
I want to bring this to the main show too, Rich, or maybe it's another day conversation. But sure. We talk about the what if of the Seattle dynasty. Thinking about the Tyreek Hill move today, I wonder if we'll be talking about the what if of the Chiefs dynasty.
I still think Mahomes is so spectacularly talented.
I think that too. And I can think that independently of maybe the team's window is closing and almost closed.
No, I don't think that. I think that them as the perennial, it goes through Kansas City, that window may be closing. Can't say it's closed. The aspect about the Tyreek Hill trade as it comes now is they were struggling on offense occasionally with him last year.
True.
Mm-hmm. At the height of his targeting.
That was a run game situation.
Him being targeted. No, or the turnovers and stuff like that. There was just something off about their offense last year that we saw that suddenly a defense could shut him down and Mahomes could be, you know, throttled. And it wasn't the line like it was in their previous Super Bowl loss. It wasn't a line issue. It was just an off-kilter issue, a lack of adjustment issue or something.
I'm just wondering.
So now you take Hill out, how will that affect an offense that wasn't, even with that high power, clicking on all of that?
I'm just thinking, in 5 years, are we going to look back and say, man, they had four straight home games in the AFC Championships and only one Super Bowl?
Well, they went to two, only one winning, and obviously Seattle did too.
Right. Kind of the same.
I will take the under on that. Is that the that won't be the case? I'll say they will continue to be very successful. Cuz Mahomes is just all of that.
But are you going to take over if I give you 0.5 Super Bowls for the Chiefs in the next decade?
Yes, I will take
the
over.
You think they win another one?
Oh, yes, I do. this coming year? I don't know. And how about this for the hot take? The team that they're going to have to really get past? Bengals.